Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Matthew 6:33. Now, I'm going to do sermon number 3 in our series, First Things First. In the first week, we talked about a desire for the King. That there's a lot of things that can be desired that are first in your life. You need to prioritize your health. You need to prioritize your family. You need to prioritize your money. You need to prioritize God, and somehow they're all in the same level playing field, but God can't be the same as all of those first things. You got to put Him first amongst the first things, and you got to put your desire for the King first. Then Pastor Rice came back and says, once you put God first place, you have to have a commitment to value what He values. And when you find what the kingdom is all about and what is value, he said he likens it unto a pearl of great price, that when you find it, sell everything you got to gain its value in your life. It's a pearl of great price. And then this week we're going to talk about a dedication to a kingdom lifestyle. So if you believe all of these things, how ought you to live differently? And what would that look like? So Matthew 6:33, let's look at it again. And see this. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Things, stuff is acquired through resource or money. So in order to talk about your dedication to God, I'm going to have to talk about your money. And I'm sorry. So let's talk about money.
Oh, come on, man. We just got done with the whole series on money with that Dave Ramsey, ICU, FP, whatever you call that thing, man, and momentum and all that. Come on, man. Money again? Seriously.
Uh-oh. Wrong day to bring a new visitor alert. Man, my coworker would never come back after all this money talk. Oops. Come on, Pastor James, help a sister help the church grow. It's harvest time, hey? Anyways, and why is Pastor James wearing another monochromatic suit? Don't he know that he can hurt people's eyes if you look at it for too long? We're not trying to go blind up in here, Pastor James, okay? I remember when he tried to wear that old chocolate shirt, chocolate pants, chocolate suit, looking like a big old M&M. Ooh-wee, and what about sister girl over there? What does she have on? She must not have had
to. Money, 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 money. Bet we're getting ready to talk about that new building again. I think they're supposed to start tearing down stuff here soon. What are they going to do with all them trees? There's a lot of forest back there. I bet there's some deer back there. But there's some turkey, some squirrel. I brought my boat. It's in the truck. I bet I can slip out like I gotta go to the bathroom and see if I can pick me some deer out.
My tags are expired. The new PlayStation 4 came out. And I mean, I don't have any extra money to give out right now. How about the church give me some money? How about that?
Well, I heard that. I heard all them comments. I like dressing that way. M&M's taste good. But I agree. Church always, you know, talking about money, asking about money. I think we should give you some money. So ushers, I want you to help me, and I want your ushers to distribute money. So you come on down, and each of you take a $5 bill that I'm going to hand out. I don't want you to be religious. I don't want you to be weird. Just take the $5. It's yours. You're going to leave with it today. You can put it in your Bible, put it in your pocket. I'll give you more instructions about it later. I think we ought to give you some money. We should trust you with the Lord's money. You might as well give. I trust you. So they're just going to hand that out. Try to stay focused. I'm going to start preaching. They're going to hand that out. You just hold on to it. You'll hold on to it. Church giving you some money. Oh, no, no, no. You take it. You got to take the money. Take it. Take the money. Y'all up in the UV, just hand out the money to them. It's funny, as we approach the subject of dedication to kingdom lifestyle, that our lifestyle begins to touch on how we live and how we acquire the resources to do the things we do to live the life we have chosen. Now, as we dedicate or commit to God, there is a certain demeanor or attitude that goes along with someone who is committed or dedicated to another person. Luke 18 is going to bring this all into perspective as we preach to you today. It's touchy. It's going to hit you. It has hit me. No one can escape. Now, I'm going to help you understand the intention of today's sermon is not to get anything from you, though today will require almost everything of you. You will not escape the pressure of what is going to happen. I can't escape it. Today's message was not inspired by a man or a book. It was inspired by God, where I get all my messages from. So, and just like me, and I can't get away from the piercing sharpness of what is about to happen, I'm sorry. You can't either. If you're wondering if you picked the wrong Sunday to come in church, yes, you did. You are accountable. You cannot stop your ears, and the ushers are not letting you out, and you already took the money. Sock. Somebody said, I want to give that back quick. Luke 18. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let children come to me and do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter in. So first, before we can talk about a desire for the king or his kingdom, which is his way of doing things and being right in the earth, you must first talk about your demeanor or your attitude or your life. Here, a child doesn't get to do what he or she wants to do when they want to do it, because they're under the authority exclusively of the parent. This is dealing not just with their inability to make independent decisions from their parent, but these children are wanting to come to Jesus. He's dealing with their attitude toward him as king, which is an attitude of submission and not just obedience. Submission is the willingness, this is definition, you can write this down so you don't forget, to yield control to another. It has everything to do with your attitude. It's not just about saying, God said it, therefore I do it. It's about, God said it, therefore I liked it, he said it, therefore I'm going to do it with happiness. Not he's making me, he's grabbing me by the neck, he's strong-arming me, he's robbing me, he's taking from me. No, I like what he's doing. He's a good dad, leading me in a good path, and nothing he ever tells. Bible says, no commandment of the Lord is grievous. Well, y'all help me calm down, because I already don't have a voice, and I should bring it down. I just started. Thank you. Help me. Okay. Let's keep going. The 18th verse, he brings us into a story about a ruler. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This ruler recognizes that his desire should be toward the king. He's recognizing Jesus. So he's got the first message down pat. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one's good except God. He said, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all of these I have kept from my youth. I'm handling my business. I'm committed to value the kingdom as you've laid it out. I've got message two in your series. I'm committed. The way this fella is talking, you want to hang with him. The way he's talking, you want to follow him. The way he's talking, it seems like the next verse that's going to talk about him is going to be a praise of his behavior. He ain't committing adultery. Hallelujah. When Jesus heard this, he said, one thing you still lack. See, coming to Jesus to evaluate your lifestyle, his list and your list might not measure up the same. When he looked at his list, he lacked nothing. When God looked at his list, he said, you lacking something. Because you think you got all this stuff right, but I got one thing you lacking, bruh. But he didn't say bruh, but I like bruh. He said, sell all you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he was very sad, for he was extremely rich. Pastor James, I'm glad you're pulling this out about the rich people in our church, because I know it's for them, and I'm not rich. This analogy is hurting some people. It ain't hurting me. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. It's kind of bad for me. Well, let me help you, lest you miss the lesson. You and I live in America. And in case you didn't get the news report, I don't care how bad you think the economy is, it's still the best in the world. You still got freedoms and opportunities that the majority of the world does not have, that lives on less than a dollar and $2 a day, and then it goes up to $10. And when you think about it, you're in the 5th percentile of the world. You're not rich. You're extremely rich when you compare the other billions of people on the planet. So, excuse me, extremely rich person, that just excused yourself from the text. This is not a third world country where we're preaching the message in reverse. You the extremely rich. You might have a poor money management problem. But you got some money. You might make some different choices, but you got some money. Oh, I'm still coming. We ain't even halfway done. He said, but when he heard these things, he was very sad because he was rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, oh, I love that. That Jesus notices stuff. Jesus notices that his disposition at the word of the Lord was disapproval. I like what these preachers is preaching in church. Why don't the preachers stay in their house? Instead of my house, just say the Bible. I am saying the Bible. I don't want these kind of words. Well, you don't want what Jesus, this is how Jesus talked. He talked more about money than love. He talked more about money than grace. Because it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. See, if you're not holding money, then money's holding you. And you can list a lot of things that seem to be the problem, but God goes to the real problem. That what you spend the most of your time working to get is the thing that's the hardest to release. Adultery happens in a moment. Lying happens in a moment. But you work 40, 50, 60, 70 hours to make that check. You ain't giving that up quick. You might as well smile back at me. Don't be trying to stare me down. It ain't going to work today. I done preached it once. How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God, which is defined as God's way of doing things and being right. It's difficult when you're rich. That's us. We're having a hard time, is what he's saying, handling things God's way, which is not some things, but everything. Let one of your kids tell you no. Hey, give me that. No, Daddy. Now, I ain't gonna tell you, but one more time, Johnny. Yeah. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's way of doing things and being right. Those who heard it said, oh man, who can be saved? Because what they're saying is, we rich. And if you're saying it's hard, we messed up. But he said, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And Peter said, see, we have left our homes to follow you. Peter said, now, let me make it clear. You might be preaching this message to a lot of people who are not willing to surrender like the rich young ruler, but I already gave up my house. I walked away from the biggest catch of fish in my business's history to follow you because I was unwilling to walk away from the source for just a resource. He says, if you give up all this stuff, I'm going to give you something that is in heaven. See, you can't, what if I told you that this would be the year in 2014 where you give to God whatever freely and then you'll be debt-free, carefree, worry-free. But you have to come to him and be willing to give up anything and everything at all times. Because when we're unwilling to give God anything he wants and asks for us, thank you, Lord. Oh, here's the scripture. Oh, man, sorry. He says, for we have been bought with a price. Therefore, we're not our own. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. That means if you say God is your Lord, that means you're just a steward. You don't own that stuff. Can you imagine going in your boss? I don't want to do that. Then he's going to say, you go home. You didn't tell me what to do with my business. You're his business. And he's telling you. We sing the song. What's that song? No, I'm going to remember this song. Y'all ain't getting off on this one. I'm sorry. I paid the price for this mess. God beating me up. I'm going to beat you. No, I'm just playing. Now, why I going to just? That's why I don't like iPads. You come. Somebody in the back that should have shouted it out by now. You remember the song. I just did it the last service. See, he is Lord as long as he don't ask me for my money. He is Lord, as long as you don't ask me for my money. He has arisen from the dead. And he is Lord, don't you ask me for my money. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ. He has arisen, and he is Lord. Just don't ask me for my money, because I give myself away. As long as you don't need everything I got, I give myself away. So you can use me if you don't use me all up. You know what that's called? Insincere worship. Worship from the head and not the heart. Worship is about words and not reality. Because the day you made the exchange, his life for yours, the Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives within me. The life I live through faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. You gave it all up. I gave it up. So, when I, about 8 or 9 years ago, when I first was offered one of the smaller positions on church staff as pastor, not the one I have now, I was in the middle, I was a businessman, I was in all types of business. I was in the middle of a multi-million dollar deal for one of my intellectual properties, Debbie and I, and the guy was out of Arizona. I can show you the deal memos and everything, and just before we were signing, he said, "Hey, don't want you to take that job at the church. We decided to offer you more money to be the owner and operator of the business, but you can't take the job at the church." I said, I can't agree to that. He said, "Look, you're going to reach more people with what we're doing." He said, "That's just a little, them little people, they don't need you." I said, "Well, that's something my pastors and God has decided." He said, "They not writing a check, I am. You cannot serve God and money." I said, "Are you mean to tell me if I say yes to this, that it's no for you?" He said, "Absolutely." I said, "You can't have my calling. It ain't for sale." I said yes to him a long time ago. So then this was never an opportunity, because this was never for sale, because I don't own myself. Now, I like to tell you that in the 9 years, God returned me $1 million and it's sitting in the bank somewhere, but that ain't happened. That has not happened. But I will tell you that when you say yes to him, it will, shall, and should cost you everything, and no one is exempt. And I'm sorry if somebody never preached to you like that, and you never put your life up for grabs, and somehow you think you can beat God in giving. But the Bible says if you give to him, he will give back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, he will cause men to give unto your bosom. He will not leave you out in the cold. He won't leave you wandering and hopeless and penniless. He's not like that. All right. Let's go down to the first verse, and we're going to see three things that when you dedicate yourself, there's a force that's right, and there's a force that's wrong. You got to get the right force. And then there's a right focus that will produce a right fruit. Right force. First one. Beware. Never a scripture starts with beware. Look out. What is he telling them to beware about? Because in chapter 5, he was talking about the hypocritical lifestyle of the religious people that had gone before them. One of the negative things that happen in church is when religious people develop behaviors or patterns in front of the sheep that are inconsistent with scripture that people begin to model that don't represent God but misrepresent God, and give you an off perspective of what he accepts. In actuality, he's rejecting it. But because we see it over time in people, we believe that God has said yes. And in fact, he said, "No, I'm not for that." But you don't see that person smitten or die, which is the mercy of God. We begin to follow that pattern and we fall under the mercy of God instead of the approval of God. Beware of this hypocrisy, where they can know something about God, do opposite, and stay alive. That's called mercy. That's all it's called. It's not called blessing. It's not called, it's called mercy. "For to him," thank you, Lord, "for him to know to do good and do if it not, to him it is sin, and the wages of sin is death." It's mercy. "Of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." If everything you want to do is to be visible by other people, you're going to get what other people can give you. One of my first employment jobs, the boss could see us from a crow's nest in what we would do. And I was working with a team of people to do a stapling job. And I wanted to lead all of the people. I wanted to be seen and I wanted to be promoted because I could see the boss looking at me. So I took the whole job over, rearranged how it was done, and I got it done quicker than anybody else. And I got it all done and everything. And they finally called me up to the office like I thought they would. And they rewarded me by sending me to work by myself in a room shoveling dirt. I got my reward. I was such a good worker, I was chosen to work alone. You see, when your life is about you and not about how others around you can get promoted, others around you can be seen, others around you can be improved, you're trying to showcase you instead of showcase God. You're trying to make it like you big boying and big timing. And the Bible says, thank you, Lord. He says, everything you have, you receive. So why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? Why do you act like what you have and what you're distributing didn't come from God? And people begin to celebrate you instead of him. You're here to reflect his glory, not your own. All right. Thus, when you give to the needy, don't sound the trumpet. Don't force your way in like the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets as they get the praise of others. Truly, I say they'd have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, what they were doing is they were getting to the synagogues and there were these receptacles and they would throw their money in. $10 for the poor. $50 for that needy person right there. $1,000 for all the needy. And they would gather people in the street and they would do the same. God said, you got your reward. You're just too flamboyant. You're still making it about you instead of what I said to you in secret. And you can do it secret. It's about you. You still want my attention. He said he will not share his glory with a man. You listen to me here. That's sin. He cannot. He will not share his glory with a man. You were not made, you were made to give him glory, not take his glory. The only thing good about me is him. And the same with you. And when we recognize that, that's what gives us power. So, that when you give in secret, your Father may reward you openly. You realize that sometimes people are blessed, right? And we look at a blessed person or a person who have great resources, and we say, they must have God's approval because they have a lot of resources. False. Some people have a lot of resources because the mercy of God is on them. The Bible says, it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repent. Sometimes you can be off and crazy and wrong, and God will pour blessings on you because it's his way to bless you to get you to change. And sometimes it's blessing you because it's approval of you. And you have to discern the difference. All right, next point. Focus. He wants us to focus. Do not lay up treasure for yourselves on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where no moth and rust and destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. Me and my wife decided a long time ago that the greatest investment that we were going to make was going to be in the kingdom of God. Now, what this scripture is not saying is that there's something wrong with having a savings account and having a 403B or a 401K or investing money or saving money. What's wrong is when God is not the person that's the author of how you invest or why you invest, and somehow you have a money manager that is telling you what you should or should not do, and you can consult them with no worries, but you don't consult spiritual things. And in fact, you get more insulted when spiritual people begin to direct your money, but you don't get insulted when natural-minded people begin to direct your money. See, something wrong with that. Something's wrong. You got it reversed. You got to store up In the kingdom. Remember when we was teaching the lessons in eternity? You got us. The Bible says, store up treasure in heaven where no man can steal. In the airport, this past week, I led a guy to the Lord who was shining my shoes, who didn't understand the difference between God being Savior and him being Lord. He did that. Then I gave him way more money for shining my shoes than he deserved, and he embraced me deeply, and it solidified, you know, that God was loving. He said, I can't believe you did that. Well, I was listening to God tell me, that's what it takes for him. That's what it takes. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's gonna be. So I can tell you by looking at your bank account, looking at where you invest and how you invest, the majority of your money, what you love. You can tell me all day, but we show each other by what we do. Man, it ain't a lot of amens in here. What's wrong? I mean, say amen that we participating together. We in the same boat. I got to listen to the same word. It's all right. Praise the Lord. That's why God put you on the front row. All the back row Gentiles, they don't want to say nothing. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. You better watch this. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other. He'll either cleave the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What he's trying to help you understand is when your focus is on what God said, your whole body will be full of light. And the Bible says his word is a lamp unto our feet and a guide unto our path. You'll always take the right steps. You'll always do the right thing. You'll always give to the right causes. You'll always be participating in the right jobs. And you'll always be making the right decisions because your eyes on the right thing. He said, but if the light in you become darkness, how great is the darkness? Look, Eve. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ah, this is good. This is good. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Ooh, that was excellent. I'm sorry. He's the bomb. This is good. I gotta slow down and say this. I didn't say it in the other sermon. Eve looked at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said it's evil. Don't touch it. The Bible says she looked at it and said, it's good and it'll make me wise. And then she touched it. The light was in her because she had the word, but the light became darkness because she perverted its meaning. And then sin entered in. Oh, y'all better. Excuse me. That's just for me because, that'll help somebody. That light became darkness. So when God speaks something to you and then you pervert it, add to it, take away from it, and change it because you don't like it, then the Bible says the darkness becomes great. And to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Man, I got to listen to this again. God, help us. Help us, Lord. We got to change that. This just go to another point. Just go to the last point. Fruit. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious. Don't be fearful about your life. Don't be worried about if God has the ability to take care of you because you gave him everything. He says, don't be worried about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not your life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They need their soul. They don't have a job, is what he's saying. They don't reap nor gather into barns. They don't have a game plan. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? You were made in the image of God. And from the day you got here, he proved to you he knew how to take care of you. And which of you, by being anxious and fearful, can add one single hour to his span of life? I don't know how we gonna do it. I don't know how we gonna do it. I don't know how we gonna do it. He says, what's that Ephesians say? They ain't got a minister on the front row. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to the Lord. You don't get anxious, you pray. And God begins to say, here's where provision is. There's where the answer is. And God, I am the God that supplies all of your need according to my riches and glory. Show up over there, I got a raven that's going to feed you. Show up over here, I got a widow that's going to feed you. Show up over here, I got a cloud that's going to cover you. Show up over here, I got fire that's going to come up and keep you warm. I got everything you need that pertains unto life and godliness. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field that grow, and neither do they toil or spin. Yet I tell you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of his. In other words, Solomon was the richest man, the wisest man. But yet Solomon still thought about how to get it done. And he was trying to say, you don't have to worry about it. If you comprehend this lesson, I'm telling you, I've eliminated the need to worry because I have predetermined I'm going to take care of my people. But if God so clothed the grass of the field today and live tomorrow and is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. This is how worldly people think. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Don't worry about all that stuff. God don't want you into, you know what? You know what our problem is? We were born to be fruitful and multiply. The first commandment, be fruitful, multiply. Everything he created had seed in it. Seed to be sown, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He wants you to sow. He gives bread to eat and seed to sow. For everything he gives you something else to dispense. When you get your paycheck, God gives you a portion to take care of yourself and a portion to continue to sow and give because he wants the law of reciprocity to work in your life. He's not trying to ruin you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to get you to work a principle. He's not trying to hurt you. He's trying to bless you now and he's trying to bless you in the next. He said, no man having left father, mother, sister, brother, lands, cattle, for in this life I'll give you 100-fold for everything that you have given up for me with persecution. In the next life, I'll give you all of that and plus eternal life. He says, Peter said, man, we left our homes and everything. He said, Peter, I'm going to give y'all to sit on 12 thrones when you get up in the next kingdom. God was going to give the rich young ruler a heavenly reward for giving up everything he gave up. Stop being so earthly minded that you're missing all of your heavenly rewards. Oh, God. Stand to your feet. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., oh, my God. In his speech, he said, I was listening to it today. It was after he got stabbed. And he said, I was having a conversation with the Lord. And he said, in this conversation with the Lord, I asked him. If the Lord asked me, he said, what time period would I like to live in? And he took me all throughout history. And I reviewed history, the good times and the bad times. He said, I will choose to live now. He said, you might be saying, Dr. King, that's foolish. This is some of the worst times on the earth, if you can choose. And he said, I know my days might be few. And they were. He said, but it's worth it to be in the will of God and to give it all up for him. He said, oh, thank you, Lord. Let me say this. He said, I looked at that story of the Good Samaritan. And he said, the Levite walked by and said, I don't have time to stop. And the other guy didn't have time to stop. He said, but I asked the question like the Good Samaritan, what would happen if I don't stop? What would happen to him? Not what happened to me. What would happen to him? He said, so I had to start thinking about what's going to happen to me. What's going to happen if I don't surrender my life for them? Each one of us in this room have an improved life because of the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Or because Jesus Christ, most importantly, because he laid down his life. He did that thank you, Lord. He said, hereby we perceive the love of God because Christ laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for others. Amen. Somehow it's gotten lost what the real cost of this life is. It's everything. That's what's first. The dedication of kingdom lifestyle costs you everything. What do I want you to do with that $5? I want you to take it. And I want you to pray. Say, Lord, what you want me to do with it? It's a small step to giving God everything. Lord, I'm not going to do anything with this $5 that you don't tell me. Because I got to practice getting it right. And then I'm going to turn from that $5 and I'm say, what did you require for my life? And my money, you own it all. And I'm starting over. What do you want out of me? The $5 is one thing, but I got a stewardship of more than the $5. Today, I challenge you. Romans 10:9 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove it is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today, if you discovered that you and Jesus are not on the same level playing field, whether you're in this room or in the upper venue, today, if you understand that the good news about what Jesus did in his death, burial, and his resurrection, that you've known him as a saving God, but you haven't made him Lord of your life, and you need to get that right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to count to three, and if that's you and you need Jesus, maybe for the first time or ready for a renewed time, and you need him to get it right, on three, I want you to shoot your hand up. I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to worry about it. I don't want you to worry about who's looking around or whatever, whether you're UV or here. I want you to just get him. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, thank you, thank you. Put it up, thank you. Put them down. Look up at me. Right now, what we're gonna do at Bethel, whether you're in the UV or here, we're gonna praise God for 30 seconds. 30 seconds, and if you raise your hand, we're gonna praise him so you'll be brave enough to stand down here with me right now. Stand down here with me right now if you raise your hand, because I don't wanna just know that you said it in a seat. I wanna walk with you. Come on and praise God. Come on, if you raise your hand. That's right, my brother. Hallelujah. Love you. Hey, I love you. I love you. He loves you. I love you. Come on, if you raise your hand, come on and give God glory. War for somebody's life. Fight for somebody. I love you, my brother. I love you, my brother. God loves you. God bless. Come on and praise God like you love him. Hallelujah. War for somebody's life. That's right. He loves you too much to stay where you're at. Hallelujah. Come on and bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him. Bless him till you're free. Hallelujah. 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 Come on and give him glory. Don't stop giving him glory. Not yet. Not yet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. God bless you, minister. Can take these out right here with you. Now, as we leave this place, next Sunday, the Bible says that every man's going to have to give an account to God. So next Sunday, that $5 I gave you? Oh, yeah. You going to take that communication card and you going to tell me what you did with it. Because you're not an owner, you're a steward. That's all the requirement is. I don't care what you do with it. You just got to give an account. And then make it a practice for the rest of your life to give an account for the whole of your life. And it might have cost $5 for you to practice this, but you got to change. I got to change. You got to get it all. Now you can tweet it. You can go to Facebook. You can. We got all kinds of ways you can say it, but be accountable. It's the new culture of our church. We consult God first about everything. The first thing first is talking to him. Yeah. Ministry team, come on down for people who might need prayer. Yeah. Glory. When you praise him. Come on, you're going to dismiss us today. So praise the Lord. Where's the mic? For he works. You praise, for our God, dismiss the church, inhabits praise, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for this time that we're here. Lord God, just give us this opportunity to come before you as yes. a church and do this together for yes. you, Lord God, and to help this remind us
yes.
beyond this week yes. to just keep this at the forefront of our mind
yes.
that this is something that we should do all the time, not yes. just when Pastor James asks us to, but
yes.
just keep that at the forefront of our mind.
Yes.
Be with us as we go this week and
yes.
bless us and protect us and let us have an awesome week for you, Lord God. Amen.
Come on and praise Him on the way out. Praise the Lord.